From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode to talk about all the cuts that are going to be happening after this game is over. We are currently watching the end of the fourth quarter in the fourth preseason game. Kansas City is driving. Well, they have the ball anyway. We will see if they do anything. But right now, what have you taken away from this game, Ryan?
You know, honestly, that everybody who likes to pump up B.J. Kissel is absolutely right. Between the Mitch Morse interview and Reggie Ragland and B.J. Kissel seem to be pals, it's kind of fun to watch.
Fair enough. Have any players stood out to you at all?
Oh, you mean on the field? Okay, yeah, okay. Well, I think what you saw is against, obviously not starter competition, but things started to come together for Armani Watts, a guy that was hurt early and needed that extra time. Good to see him step up against competition that he should be playing well against. And I thought that really that's going to give him a chance to get caught up. I still feel like he's probably 2 or 3 weeks behind because of the injury early in camp. So I'm thinking by the end of the first quarter of the season, he's a guy that should be able to push Eric Murray for playing time at that free safety spot.
Well, I think that's definitely possible. And that second interception of his was quite impressive. Looked like a wide receiver going up for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So was really impressed with that catch.
And, you know, even the first one, that was clearly a terrible throw by the quarterback. But again, he was playing single high, which this team needs somebody to be able to do. And he was making the correct reads. And that's really, again, this is a time where in this particular game, when you're playing all backups, the twos and threes, it is that chance for maybe a little bit of that pressure to come off for a guy that's a draft pick that you know is at a position of weakness, that you're looking for somebody to provide some spark. And sometimes that's a good scenario to just let everybody relax and just play smoother, play more instinctually. And that's something that Armani Watts has in spades. And he just has to get to that point. So I think really the situation played into it as well.
Certainly could. You know, what I saw from him tonight was he played pretty much the entire game and they were really trying to get him reps. So that is a good sign for them. They do need to get him back into the swing of things or into the swing of things with this defense, because they're going to need him throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is just – we've talked ad nauseum about the safety position in general and the secondary at large. And unfortunately, nothing has really changed. I thought Tremont Smith had a rough game. I thought Demontre Wade had a rough game. You'd like to see those guys take steps forward at the end of the preseason. But, again, this is the reason for Orlando Scandrick. This is – getting a veteran presence so that you can give those two in particular, as well as Arian Springs, who I thought played well in game four, but give them more time to progress. And I think that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I do think it's interesting that you bring up the corners. I thought Tremont Smith did have a rough game. I'm not so sure I agree on Demontre Wade. He got beat, but I thought he made good plays on the ball at least. But you bring up corner, and that's a very interesting position, considering the Chiefs traded for a corner that should be consummated probably by the time people are listening to this tomorrow.
Yeah, Charvarius Ward, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, undrafted free agent that's been in camp in Dallas and was making a serious push to make that roster as an undrafted guy. And they trade Parker Iyengar away. And I think that's – honestly, I think that's a good value. It's tough, and I put it out there on Twitter right away because this is – you're talking about trading a fourth-round pick 2 years ago for a rookie undrafted free agent. But here's the rub. You have since upgraded the guard positions on this roster, and you were probably looking – what this means is they were looking at cutting Parker Iyengar. And that's a situation where they're going to get a player that at a position of weakness that can maybe come on and has had, like I said, a good camp. And you may end up getting a player for a guy that you were going to cut anyway, that may be able to contribute down the line.
Yeah, and you definitely hope that's the case. It sounds like Ward has a lot of height and speed, so hopefully that'll be a good thing for Kansas City going forward. Kind of surprising that they did give up on Iyengar, but it's also kind of understandable considering he was running at tackle the entire preseason, never really seemed to fit into that guard rotation at all.
Well, and honestly, I think his time at tackle in the preseason is what made his value go up enough to pull off a trade with him as the only collateral. Tackles, I don't care what you say, tackles are still more valuable in this league than guards are. And I think that probably was part of the decision to make that move. And, you know, it was necessitated as well. We got a couple of little nuggets, actually, from Todd McShay, which, you know, folks, if you don't follow in the offseason, with all the draft coverage that we go through, Todd McShay's a fixture in the draft world. And I often talk about some of the things that he mentions. And what was your reaction to what he had to say about Wiley?
Very intriguing. I do think that Wiley is a guy that could continue to develop, and maybe he is a guy that's going to push for a starting position. Maybe not this year, but definitely could maybe be in for a starting position next year if he continues to develop. And he looks like he's the sixth offensive lineman at this point.
Yeah, that it certainly does. And the fact that he's been rotating, obviously with LDT out, he was in with the starting group at right guard. But then he moved over to left tackle, was playing outside there as well. And that versatility in itself is exactly what this staff is always looking for. So I thought that boded really well for him. And clearly, I agree with you. I think he is the sixth lineman at this point, assuming that it is Irving that gets the start at left guard.
Yeah, and that could be a big assumption because it's possible that it's not going to be Irving and that Wiley somehow squeaks in there. But you would think, considering Irving didn't play tonight and Wiley did, that's the way they're leaning right now.
Yeah, I have to think so as well. You know, and there's another couple of guys on offense we need to talk about. Why don't we take a quick break? Folks, please check out the Locked On NFL lineup now. They've got local experts. They've got Sando every week. They've got Mike Renner every week. Matt Williamson is running a whole new show over there. So please check that out. We're going to take a second. And we'll be right back. So two of the guys that really came on strong in this fourth game, and again, 31 did not surprise me. I've been telling people about Daryl since OTAs opened.
I think he did see something he needs to work on.
Well, and then, yeah, he's hit or miss in the pass protection game. I know you pointed out one that he missed, but there was also another one where he had a cross block that he started out on the right-hand side of the quarterback in shotgun and ended up having to come all the way over to the left side of the formation to pick up a blitz. And he did a good job with it. So
definitely. And I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that it's something he's going to have to work on because you can't miss blocks that are coming right up the middle of the gut. And that was kind of what he was missing in that specific play that I pointed out. Yeah. It's not that I don't like him. It's just that's one thing he's going to have to work on. But he does have fantastic hands, and you saw that on that touchdown grab. I don't care how easy you think that catch was. As a running back, that's not easy.
No.
Especially somebody that didn't catch a lot of balls in college.
Well, and, you know, honestly, I tune everything out when Brett Veach speaks, or any GM for that matter. But it was very telling to hear him say that we want guys that can run powerfully inside. These four guys are over 220, and they can all catch the ball. And then that play happened. And I think that's really specific that you want a more pounding option with the run game, especially guys that run north-south like those particular four do. And the fact that they can all catch as well means that they can play all three downs. And while the pass throw is important, the majority of the time, the running backs are going to be out in patterns in this offense.
Yep. And like I said, I'm not trying to be hard on the kid. I'm just saying that's one thing he's going to have to work on. Same thing with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had to work on it. He's gotten a lot better. But it's something that you just can't have. If he's going to play, he needs to be able to block and do pass protection. I mean, it's just one of those things you have to be able to do if you're going to play running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
So because quarterbacks, running backs are a dime a dozen. Kansas City has four that I think could really play in the NFL right now on their team. Quarterbacks, with the way Henny looked, I thought Henny could maybe start on a couple of teams this season with the way he's looked in the preseason. But, you know, you don't want to get past Patrick Mahomes at all.
No, but it is nice to have that in Henny, even more so than the team had with Chase Daniel. You know he can come in. He's fought for a starting job in Jacksonville over the last few years. I mean, he has options. He can come in if there's any kind of injury or any kind of time off, and he can sustain this offense for you.
Yeah, and hasn't he surprised you a little bit this offseason?
Yeah, especially, you know, I believe he said when he came into OTAs that this is his first time in a West Coast offense. And so it does surprise me a bit.
Well, it surprised me because when I saw him in training camp, he looked like he was probably the worst QB there that day. And I get all QBs have off days. That's fine. No big deal. But he's come a long way, and he played really good in the games that I saw him in.
I have to agree. And by the time I was there, 6 days later? No, 8 days later? I thought he had improved to the point where he was the second best quarterback out there.
Yep.
But none of that's the surprise, but I think we both have an idea of who earned the third job, right?
Who do you think earned the third job?
I think it's really clear that the tie goes to the younger guy, and Chase Luton's going to be on this team.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, because if you were going to say McGloin, I will give McGloin this. He was slinging the ball around the field. I haven't seen him throw the ball like that. But there was one play, and I think it was toward the end of the second, or it was toward the end of the second quarter, and he was throwing an out route. And that out route needed to be, you know, maybe 6 feet off the ground. That out route was probably 9 or 10 feet off the ground. And people may not think that's much, but that's a big deal when you're a QB in the NFL.
Well, and if you pay attention to how and when those particular plays happen, he sailed that particular pass, but there were a couple others, I think when they were going the opposite direction, that you can see he's fine when he's in his platform, in the pocket, but whenever he has to move, everything goes out the window in terms of accuracy. And I think that's really the downside for him. Whereas Litton, I think he moves well on the run. He's still accurate on the run. He's got a much bigger arm. In fact, of all three of these guys, he's got the arm that's closest matches Mahomes, which means you don't have to tailor the offense as much as should he ever have to come in.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at what Litton can do. And I really liked what you said about him throwing on the run tonight. I thought he looked great rolling out in the pocket. I was very impressed. I did not expect to see that coming from him. I just didn't think he was that – and I'm not going to say he's a mobile QB, but I didn't think he was that fleet of foot. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked natural is really, I guess, the best way to put that. So, to me, I agree with you. I think the tie goes to Litton. And, yes, he didn't throw a touchdown like McGloin did, but he showed that he can throw the ball downfield. He hit – Pringle on a deep ball and had another decent ball to Smallwood, I believe. So I think he should be the number three QB. We'll see if the team seems to agree with that, though.
Yeah, we will find out. And I'm glad you brought him up because I'm and, you know, speaking of BJ, we had a nice little conversation about Jayhawks versus Wildcats. But I think Pringle – I'm almost glad that he didn't continue to play that well. Not that I'm happy that he's injured, but he's playing himself to a point where somebody's going to nab him off of a practice squad, and he's not going to be available for the Chiefs.
Well, I'm not so sure he's not an IR candidate. If that's a hamstring injury, he's out. Probably, especially as somebody with his speed, he's probably out at least 6 weeks. If it's a bad hamstring injury.
Yeah, it definitely could be, but you'd never know with those.
No, it's true, but the way he came off the field and limping and grabbing it as he was on the ground, I mean, he could be out that long, so it wouldn't surprise me if they put him on IR. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not they're able to do that for the entire season, who knows? But that would be nice if they could, because I'm not so sure he didn't show enough to get, you know, a look somewhere else.
I think he definitely would. I hope they can get him on there because I thought he caught up with his level of play against the twos, threes at that point, I guess, but definitely showed the spark that we all thought he had. So it's good to see.
What I will say, I know we need to take another quick break, but let's finish that offense real quick and then we'll move over to defense after the break. Anybody else that really stood out to you on offense? Because I will say I thought the offensive line looked pretty decent tonight. They gave the QBs time. They did pretty well in the run game as well. I'm not sure that I have a specific offensive lineman that looked great, but I thought overall they did a good job.
Yeah, I would say so. I thought McKenzie held his own when he came in. I thought that was probably the most important. On offense, I think, honestly, the biggest thing that happened is it's going to be hard to decide who has to go when Demetrius Harris comes back, because I thought both Amaro and Ellis played very well in this fourth preseason. I think I'm still come down on I'd rather see Ellis, but I think they both showed enough that they deserve to make the roster, and they should for week one. Maybe all of our dreams will come true and dropsies won't come back. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Harris made a good turn on a play in the first quarter on that ball from Henning. I thought that looked natural for him, so that's good. But those are the types of plays you expect him to make. It's the easy ones that he seems to struggle with the most, which really leads you to believe it's a concentration issue, unfortunately. Now, the only other player that I will mention that's I think – oh, by the way, I guess we should mention, it looks like to me Dat and Kemp are definitely ahead of Dieter in this wide receiver rotation.
It does. You know Dieter, what, though? We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's take a quick break. Folks, make sure you check out the rest of the Locked On Network, because we have college pods now for a number of high-profile college programs. They're all kicking off. We're going to have a full lineup, so check those out. We're going to take a second, and we will continue with, I think, we have more and more to talk about. So when we broke, you were just talking about the wide receivers, and I think this conversation has to go on a little deeper, because what we heard from the broadcasters is that McShay let it slip too, that they're considering keeping 7 wide receivers.
Yes, they are considering 7 wide receivers, and not only did McShay let that slip, but Beach let it slip that it sounds like Hamilton might be on the roster for the defensive line. Now, when you mentioned 7 wide receivers, I think Pringle might have been number 7. Dieter's look good, but to me, he doesn't have the deep speed and the deep threat that Pringle does, or that Pringle could give you. But what I will say is that I do think that maybe Pringle was headed to the practice squad if he wasn't going to make the roster. Maybe Dieter's headed to the practice squad. I wonder if they're going to put Blake Mack on the practice squad.
I wonder that as well. And, you know, I said it a couple days ago, in the run-up to this game, but Jay Uchessa needed to do something, and I'm not sure he did enough to secure his position on this roster.
Well, he had a good chance to make a good play and let it slip through his fingers, unfortunately for him. So,
So right now, I find it hard to say that Dat has broken his leg in week 17 last year, and he's going to make this roster. I did not expect for that to come out of my mouth this season, but Kemp, Dat. So who's 7?
Well, like I said, I think maybe it was Pringle, but I don't know that he's going to be on the roster at this point. If they keep 7, unless they're going to keep Pringle and let him try to be healthy. But the other issue is maybe they were only going to go with 2 tight ends and have 7 wide receivers for the first season or for the first week, and then go to 6 and bring back Harris. That's certainly a possibility because if you look at what Kemp does, he's not a tight end, but he's a bigger body, and that can help you in the red zone. So, and for 1 week, I think you can get away with not having 3 tight ends. And it gives you a chance to keep a wide receiver that maybe you didn't think you were going to be able to keep if you sent him through the practice squad or sent him through cuts the first week, because everybody's looking then not near as hard, at least the second week.
Yeah, absolutely. You get past that rush.
Right. Let's flip over to the defensive side. Lots to talk about there. Ben Neiman, I think, looked gassed at times tonight.
Yeah, a little slow on the goal line. I would like to see him try to take on that tackle deeper in the backfield. I thought the D-line was getting some good push. I don't care. I don't want to see him cut over Terrence Smith. He's done enough to make this roster, period, as far as I'm concerned.
And I agree with that, but let me ask you the question. Where do you put – I mean, how do you look at the situation tonight and see that Ukeme Elegwe and Smith started and Neiman came in for Smith. I mean, does that make you think that it's possible that Neiman is not going to be on the roster?
I think it's a possibility. I think they were looking for somebody to make a play. I think they're comfortable with Smith because of his speed and because of his special teams ability. But we've heard Dato talk up Neiman as well. I think those two are probably very close. Leagueway is clearly number three, and they've got to keep O'Daniel. I thought O'Daniel played great tonight.
Oh, yeah. O'Daniel looked fantastic, in my opinion.
Yeah, another guy that it's starting to come together for. It might be another, you know, 5-8 weeks. I don't know, but he's going to get there.
I don't even know that it'll be that long. I thought he looked, with the way he looked tonight, I thought he looked like he would be ready week two or week three to actually have some decent playing time.
Yeah, maybe. Especially if they're in a situation, maybe against Pittsburgh, that they want to go in that big nickel and have him in there as the role that Sorensen played last year. Because I think, honestly, the biggest question coming in the next 2 days is what happens with Dan Sorensen.
Well, my guess is right now that they are waiting to put him on IR after cuts.
That's my guess as well.
But hard to know what they're going to do at this point, because why else would they not have put him on IR? Because if they put him on IR before the final cutdown, then he can't come back this season. Correct. So, yeah. And your boy Jordan Stearns made a play tonight, I thought, or two.
He did. You know, I thought he looked decent against the Bears. I thought he made a nice play tonight. Missed a couple of things against Atlanta, but looked solid there too. You know, if they had room, I'd say that he maybe had a shot. I think he'll land on somebody's roster. I don't think he's a guy that's going to end up on a practice squad this year.
I can't imagine he would. I think he looked like he belongs in the NFL. So who else stood out on defense to you? Defensive line, I thought, looked pretty good for most of the night. I thought they were getting push up front.
Yeah, I thought Jenkins looked good. I mean, clearly he's one of the top five. I wanted to see a little bit more out of Liner, but he did spark from time to time.
T.Y. McGill was the one I thought sparked from time to time. Mm-hmm. It was a competition that you would worry about, but I thought he at least showed well.
Yeah. Dorlin made a nice big play, but I don't know if he – I think it's not enough for Dorlin to make this team.
Yeah, at corner. My question to you is, were you surprised with what Veach said about Hamilton?
You know, I was surprised to hear his name come up because I haven't seen him do much. You know, against the threes, like tonight, sure, but beyond that, didn't see him do anything spectacular in practice. You know, I can't say that I would agree with that, to tell you the truth, but it is what it is, and we'll see what Brett Veach and Andy Reid decide.
Fair enough. Anybody else that stick out to you? I don't think Dorlan has any chance of making this roster, especially considering they just traded for a corner. I'm not so sure Springs makes this roster at this point.
I think he does.
And you think they cut Anderson?
No.
So how many corners? How many corners?
I've had him keep him six this whole time.
So name your six.
The top four, including Skandrick and then Springs and Smith.
What about Ward?
I don't know. They got to get him and look at him. I don't think they make
a trade and cut him. They're not going to have a chance to look at him, like, playing-wise.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen enough of his film to think that he's better than Springs. I honestly don't know, and maybe that is the case. And you could probably get Springs onto the practice squad, but the other option would be to cut Emerson. And I personally have no problem with that, but I don't know that the team's going to want to do that just because they seem to value veteran experience, even if it's, you know, at a performance level that can't really keep up.
True. Although I could also make an argument that it's possible Amerson didn't play tonight just simply because they didn't want to risk injury and owe him money.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Ward move is not going to be announced by a team until after it's consummated tomorrow. But the trade has already been done. So it's going to be interesting to see how they end up shaking out on that side of the ball. Lots of different positions. I think defensive line is pretty easy to figure out. I was kind of surprised to see Frank Zombo not play at all. So maybe that means that he's clearly on the roster, which is still a little surprising to me. But
all I'm going to say is if I ever get stranded on desert island by myself and I got one person, I'm picking Frank Sombo. That guy can survive anything.
You have a point there, sir. Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
No, that's about all I've got tonight. We will have a show for you all on Saturday afternoon or early Sunday morning. I'm not sure when it will go up, when cuts are announced. So just a heads up that there will be an extra show, Locked On Chiefs, this weekend. We will have you covered when it comes to roster cuts.
Yep. Keep your eyes peeled, folks. Thanks for listening today. We'll let you know when we know, and we'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.